This is attorney Anthony Push with the Push & Win Law Firm. We get big results on even the most unlikely of cases. Give us a call today at 833-PUSH-WIN.
Or visit us online at pushwin.com. That's P-U-S-H-W-I-N.com.
We push, you win.
Right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's another Raw Feed with the Rula and Ryan Show. It's Rula, it's Ryan, it's our producer Eric, and our special guest today. My gosh, we have not seen him or talked to him in a long time. But back in the day on KHOU Channel 11, there was an awesome show called Walton's World. And it starred Jonathan Walton, who did these amazing things all around the city of Houston. And he's on the Raw Feed with us today. Hi, Jonathan.
Rula and Ryan, and in parentheses, Eric. How are you guys?
Yay! Jonathan. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
All the fun times we have. Now, Jonathan, just for a background for the Raw Feeders, our podcast listeners, what was your show, Walton's World, about? I always say it was like the fun, cool stuff, behind-the-scenes stuff you didn't really get to see often. Or how would you describe what Walton's World was on KHOU Channel 11 in the mornings?
Besides a smashing success, until it wasn't, I was hired in 2002 to break up all the murders and car wrecks on the news to show like the fun side of Houston, you know, like the donut eating contests or the deep fry testicle festival and stuff like that.
And we all started around the same time because we came
2003
in January.
Yeah, so. I included you guys in the radio race.
Yes, we did.
The Amazing Race.
Radio Race.
Yes,
and you did a Wake Up with Rula and Ryan where you showed people what do morning show personalities do before the show starts. And you came with us as soon as we got in the door to show pre-show and post-show. And do you still have that stuff on film somewhere?
I do. I have a stack of beta tapes. I got to figure out. I got to get a converter.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I saved all my stuff meticulously.
That'd be fun to see.
Yeah. I'm like a serial killer that way.
But you left Houston, though, to go straight to L.A. then, right? You just said...
Oh, my God. So I spent 5 years at Channel 11, and our morning show went from fifth place to first place while I was there. And then they fired me because I got a new news director who hated me, and he didn't think funny belonged on the news. So he fired me rather quickly. And then I was about to take a job at the Fox station in Atlanta to do the morning show thing again. But Comedy Central was interested in the show I had pitched them called Some Stupid Show.
And that's awesome.
They initially, it's like, you know, the show's about funny journalism. They initially rejected me. And then they said, you know what? We'll give you a shot. Let us know when you get here. So I was super excited to move to LA. I thought that was happening. And then the writer's strike happened.
Oh, no.
And everything just went south. I was so personally upset. I didn't realize at the time that this affected thousands of other, you know, writers and producers, but it did. It gave networks and production companies carte blanche to just, you know, end everyone's deal. So it was a big flushing. But, you know, I met my husband. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay. P.S.
That is so funny.
Okay.
I'm a homo. Yeah. Ryan, I've had impure thoughts about that, Ryan, I tell you.
Oh, really?
Ooh, really? Whoa, now we're getting the good stuff.
You mean I actually made it into the Spank Bank?
You did. You did a couple times.
Damn! Somebody's thinking about me. Thank you, Jonathan. I'm honored.
Because Jonathan was not out when you were on television here.
Getting fired from KHOU was around the time I was realizing I was gay. It was around the time I'd hooked up with my best friend, a guy who never wanted to talk to me again. I was devastated. I was like so close to ending my life.
Oh my God. Are you serious, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so horrible.
But no one had a clue. No one had a clue.
And so what happened? How'd you pull yourself out of that?
Well, so I moved to LA. God spoke to me. God or an angel or someone. But I decided to end my life. I was going to take a bunch of pills. It was going to look like an accident because I started complaining to my coworkers. I can't sleep. And one pill's not working, two pills aren't working. You know, I had this whole thing planned out. And I would go to bed every night just convulsing, crying, knowing that this is what I had to do. Then like 2 weeks into my plan, I wasn't going to leave a note. So my mom would never know that I took my life. It would look like an accident because overdosed on sleeping pills.
Easier to process, yeah.
Wow. Right, that was the plan. But then, you know, and I knew I was going to do it. It was happening. And then one night, I'm just crying for hours, and I heard a voice. Like, I keep saying in my mind, I can never make my mom proud of me again. And then a voice outside myself said, you will make her proud. And it freaked me out because it wasn't it wasn't me. It was someone in my bedroom. And I looked around and it repeated, "You will make her proud."
My God.
And then in that moment, dude, I was literally at the end of my rope, and that's literally what it took. You know, like I realized something, you know, whether it was God or an angel or a spirit from beyond, I don't know, but some disembodied voice talked me off the ledge.
What if it was your
neighbor
just talking through the vent? Saved your life.
Maybe
Jonathan, what year was that?
This was 2007, beginning of 2007.
Gosh. And so for how long of a window are we talking that everything just felt so devastating that there was no way out?
Like in a 90-day period, everything happened. I got fired. I realized I was gay because my best friend never wanted to talk to me again. We had just hooked up. And yeah, it was just.
Your best friend gay as well, or
He is now right. He's married with kids now. No, and sexuality is such a it's on a spectrum. You know, everything's kind of gray. Ryan, that note's for you. I had a lot, and I thought I didn't want to be gay. I was trying to be straight. I was dating women. I was trying to make I had this Disney. Esque idea of love, and if I met the right woman, this whole thing would go away. But bottom line, whatever you're beating it to at 12 years old, that's kind of what you are.
That's so sad. And hearing that you got to that point, man, it's like it breaks my heart, dude. I'm so sorry that you.
I know that was thanks, man. I appreciate it. That was the darkest time of my life for sure. And I made it through. I met my husband like a year later. I moved to LA. I met my husband on my first day here. 2 weeks later, we moved in, and that was 13 years ago. We've been married ever since.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
And I'm living happily ever after in Los Angeles, other than the con artist situation.
Yeah, we got to hear about this.
Yeah, for those that are, maybe didn't hear us saying this earlier this week and last week on the show, Whoopi Goldberg is hosting a show on ABC. If you're listening to this in real time, it's going to premiere on Wednesday, the 21st of October on ABC. If you're listening to it another time, that's the date. And it's about people who've been conned out of money via love or other things. And that's why Jonathan initially was joining our show. And we didn't know it was going to... You have this crazy background. But before we get into the cons, just make one more note for anybody listening who's been in your place, who's been in your situation. The fact that you had chosen to end your life and you even went as elaborate as to plan that it would look like an accident. And had you died, Jonathan, we on the Rule and Ryan show, we had gotten word, oh my God, Jonathan Walton took too many sleeping pills and he overdosed. Yeah. Oh my God, this is so scary. You would have been successful in your lie. But I'm so glad that you weren't. And I don't know how many days did it take you to figure out, this is going to be the day. This is the day I'm going to do this. And then you heard the voice on that day, or you heard the voice before you picked the day?
I heard the voice almost on that day. It had been a couple weeks since I started telling friends and coworkers that I'm having trouble sleeping. And, one sleeping pill is not working. I'm trying two sleeping pills. I'm trying... I need something stronger. So that was the narrative I started. So in the eventual, death, everyone would have said, well, he was having trouble sleeping and he kept taking more pills and we cautioned him and that was the plan. But it was a couple weeks into that I heard the voice.
Was it more because of the devastation of the career stuff not happening, or was it more because now you realize you are a gay man, that your best friend is not speaking to you, and how are you going to live with it? Do you feel ashamed? Special K is part of the podcast too. He just walked in the room and his ears perked up when you talked about this. I know you probably have a lot to add, but what was the thing that was more shameful for you, Jonathan? Was it the career wasn't working, or the shame of your best friend ditching you, ghosting you after y'all hooked up?
It was, so the best friend, it was the realization that I was gay. Cause I, this is what gay people won't tell you that I'm happy to tell you. Nobody wants to be gay.
That's true.
Right? That's never the plan. We're born into this society where you grow up and marry a man, marry a woman of the opposite sex, and live happily ever after, have kids. So I fought being gay for 30 plus years because I didn't want to be gay. And I was literally delusional. I believed, and I understand why in retrospect, to protect myself. Because it's the same reason people get multiple personality disorder. I developed a delusion. Whereas I just believed if I met the right woman, all these, other same-sex feelings would go away. I was very Mike Pence about it. That's what I believe.
Exactly. The hardest thing for, I think, a gay person to do is to come out to themselves. To sit in your room. Ooh, girl, I'm going to get the vapors. to sit in your room and and to tell yourself that my life is going to be really fucking hard because I'm about to be marginalized. I got to tell my parents, my dad's going to be disappointed in me. My pup-up is such a man's man. Like, what happens if he finds out? I've just become a lower human. And now just this weekend, some article came out where social workers in Texas can deny me service because I'm gay. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? I'm just like everyone else. I didn't choose this. And and this one guy, he's a teacher in high school, and I knew he was gay, and so I told him. I was like, what am I going to do? He's like, Kevin, gay still means happy. Look at me. I am so happy. Gay still means happy. I was like, oh, yeah, you are pretty happy. You seem like a really fun guy. Okay, maybe I'll be all right. And like about a year later, the girl I was dating came out to me. And so we were gay together, and we put up this whole facade through high school. We could both be gay and be happy and live our own lives kind of secretly. And then senior year, we all kind of came out of the closet. But, you know, hearing your story and hearing, you know, how difficult it was, it's the story of so many of us. And I'm so, so glad you got through that because, shit.
Well, thanks, man. And
nothing,
likewise. You know,
nothing hits like that.
I was 30 and still mentally almost not strong enough to take it. And I see, you know, someone like you and all the younger kids coming to that realization, it's hard, you know, and, part of my family disowned me. And that kind of is what set me up to get conned, you know, getting disowned. But it's hard. And I, the positive message is there is light at the end of that dark tunnel. I promise you. So if you're listening to this and you're struggling with your sexuality and you're thinking it's dark and there's no way you can ever be happy, that's just not true. Things pass, and my friends became closer. My best friends became my bester friends, you know, and everyone kind of surrounded me with love and support, with the exception of a few family members who disowned me for 10 years, and now we're back on speaking terms.
Oh, man. Well, we need to give a big Rule and Ryan Show hug to Special K, because that was strong. That was strong. Kevin, I know that you've got a lot on your mind these last 3 days with that news.
Yeah, and there is a light at the end of that rainbow.
Yes. But I mean, do both of you guys though feel this way? Like, I mean, if somebody doesn't accept you, especially if it's a family member, fuck them. Who cares?
Exactly. I mean, no, I stayed away. Mm-hmm. Listen, I was told to stay away, and I stayed away. And that family member made a real effort 10 years later, apologized, cried, begged, cajoled, and now I'm, you know, quote, back in the family. And listen, I forgive. You know, you got to forgive if you keep hating someone or resenting someone, it only makes you miserable. So I forgive. You know, when we know better, we do better, as Oprah and Maya Angelou used to say.
Am I to understand this whole thing led to a scamming? Like, you got scammed
from the con?
Yeah, well, her way into my life, you know, she was a new neighbor. I live in this, you know, I'm a TV producer now in Los Angeles. I've worked on shows like Shark Tank and American Ninja Warrior. I'm doing pretty well. So I live in a nice building, and I have a new neighbor in 2013, and she introduces herself as Mayor Smith, and she says she's from Ireland, and we form a close bond. You know, she starts whining and dining my husband and I, and when I tell her, you know, at that time I was disowned by part of my family, and when I tell her that, she's like, well, my family disowned me too because they're trying to get me disinherited.
Uh-oh.
You know, and she starts
a bond over that.
Yeah. So, you know, all of a sudden we're like two discarded souls in Los Angeles, like finding each other. And we became really close, like brother and sister. We're ending our phone calls with, I love you. I love you. She's buying us gifts. She's taking us on vacations. She seems to have a lot of money. She paints herself as this Irish heiress. She's going to get this 25. Her great uncle died in Ireland. She shows us this picture.
Oh boy.
She has a framed document on her wall of the Irish Constitution. And she's like, look, that's my uncle that signed that. She paints herself as Irish royalty. And this is the thing. You are, you know, everyone listening now, you got to be suspicious of texts and emails. When somebody shows you a text, like, look what so-and-so texted me. You just think that's what so-and-so texted. But
yeah, who does
she would do that. But she created 23 different online identities to text herself as all these freaking people.
Oh my God. Oh my
Jonathan, before you unfold the whole story, do you feel right from the, were you a mark? Did she spot you and did she seek you out?
Yeah, well, everyone. So now, you know, I got a PhD in this bitch. Can I say bitch? I
yes, you can. Dude, God bless her. God bless America with the cussing because you want to so bad. Don't you want to just strangle her? Oh.
So okay. How do you think? So how do you think that? Obviously, she probably was grooming you, but how did she?
While she was grooming a dozen other people. Listen.
Oh,
a professional...
so she's cultivating. She's cultivating multiple.
That's probably how she got smart. She gets money from other people and then takes that money to invest in the next person.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Like, how do you go on a free vacation?
So she, every friend, every guy she dated, every employer she worked for, they were all marks.
Ooh.
She has no real friends. Case in point, I spent 3 years investigating. I uncover 45 victims all over the world. I get a call from a police detective in Northern Ireland who's been looking for her for 10 years.
Oh my God.
She scammed $500,000 from 26 victims over there. Okay, and she's going to get extradited.
Let me ask this question. How did this even start to unravel? That's what I want to know, Jonathan. This woman lives in your building. It's a very nice building from what you said. She befriended you and your husband just like a neighbor would.
At some point, she probably wanted money.
Y'all were like her gay best friends, it sounds like. Y'all.
Yep.
Where did the unraveling in your eyes start? Like something didn't feel right.
Okay, so she's showing me these texts, right, from her angry cousin Fenton, you know, saying she's not going to get a dime of the inheritance she's fighting with. She tells me, you know, she shows me texts from her barristers. I had to Google what a barrister was. A barrister is a lawyer in Ireland and the UK. They call them barristers. So she's fighting for this inheritance. And I'm, you know, I'm at this point, we're 14 months into our friendship. And she tells me, you know, she works for this luxury travel agency, right? And she says her family does business with them. That's why they hired her. And she went, she had a weird accent. She grew up on holiday going to the Polynesian Pacific Islands. And, you know, she doesn't have to work, but she wants something to do. And she enjoys talking about her childhood vacations. And she knows those islands so well. So she's like the number one luxury Pacific Islands vacation seller at this company that her family has ties with.
And this is all fake, like lies.
Well,
it's all made up lies.
It's like it's a blend, and that's what they do. So she shows me a text one day from her barrister saying that, listen, if any heir is ever convicted of a felony, they're immediately disinherited and won't get a dime. So here's what's brilliant about this woman. She tells me that, right? I connect the dots and I spout the con I'm about to fall for to her. I tell her, listen, you better be careful because your family is friends with the company you work for and they hate you. They might try to set you up to get you convicted of a felony to take your money. Like, you know, I've been a news reporter for 10 years. I've seen wives knock their husbands off for $1 million insurance policies. Like, you know, and then sure enough, literally like a couple of weeks later, ring, ring, I get a call from an inmate at the Century Regional Detention Center. It's her.
What?
She got arrested. She starts crying. You're right. My family set me up. They made it look like I stole $200,000 from my employer, and now I'm in jail and blah, 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 blah. So at that point, this was 2014, I was angry because I'm like, I told you, I warned you, your family's evil. Bear in mind, her family doesn't exist. This was all a web of lies. I had no idea, but you know, she's playing me like a fiddle. So I spend, I immediately, this is my best friend, this is my sister. I bail her out of jail for $4,200. And here's the thing, boys and girls.
Yeah.
She pays me back the next day.
Huh? Okay, I don't understand. Where did you actually send the money if she wasn't in jail? If she was lying
Here's the thing. She was in jail. She did get arrested. She was accused of stealing $200,000 from the travel company she worked at.
Because she did it.
But she
did.
She just gave you that money back for bait. Like, oh.
Well, here's the thing. So I thought she paid me back the next day. But really, the L.A. politician she was dating and scamming paid me back the next day.
Oh,
I had double dated with this guy. He scammed her. She scammed him out of close to $100,000. We both had no idea we were getting conned when we double dated.
Wait, and Jonathan, you're not talking this is a romantic thing with you and this lady because you're married to your husband. So
exactly.
It's a friendship that she took advantage of.
Well, yeah, she used her evil family. You know, I'm trying to rescue her from her evil family, trying to get her inheritance. And yeah, I loved her. Listen, love is the most powerful force there is in the entire universe. And people will do anything for love. And normally, you know, romantic love, yes, but I loved her like a sister. You know, we were ending phone calls with, I love you, I love you. That's how close we were. So here's the thing. I thought she paid me back the next day. I had no idea the other guy she was conning paid me back the next day. But that's how cons work. They always let you wet your beak a little in the beginning.
Yeah.
And when you see a little money up front, you feel confident to continue loaning her money, which is what happened.
confident.
Right.
Okay, so the money comes back to you.
Confidence artist.
Confident.
Yes.
Okay, so Jonathan Walton, you now have been friends with her for how long at this point? 2 years? 4 years?
14 months. So like
14 months.
When she pays me back that first money, yeah, 14 months.
And is this, as opposed to how some people might be thinking about this, like, is it constant drama with this woman? Or is it like a regular friendship where you guys
That's another tip. That's another tip. Constant drama. Her family is trying to get her disinherited. She has cancer. She has a collapsed lung. Drama happens to people, but there's not every drama to one person. And this is another sign of a con. So she was in the hospital. I thought she had cancer. She got out of paying rent in our building for 5 months because she conned our landlord into believing she had cancer.
Whoa.
And she never had cancer. How the hell did she get away with pretending like she had cancer? Did she make a fake?
Here's the brilliance. Yes. Yeah. She had low blood iron, right? And she was anemic, and she would intentionally.
Oh, I think I lost you. Uh-oh. Hold on, Jonathan. We think we lost you.
Oh, crap.
She was anemic and she had low iron in her blood. Hold on, let's try and get him back. I don't know if he just got disconnected.
This is so fascinating. Y'all, this sounds just like one of these ID shows that I watch. You know,
well, that's why Sam and I
watch
doing
all these
con.
Kind of
that's
shows. Yeah.
When's the show on, by the way? Wednesday?
It's on Wednesday night. Wednesday? If you're listening in real time, it's this Wednesday, October 21st.
Oh, am I back?
Yeah, you're back. You're back.
You're back. Okay.
So back with Jonathan Walton on the con.
I don't know what happened.
So you lost you right when I asked, how did she fake that she had cancer? No, not that far back. No. It's just, you told us that this woman got 5 months rent free from the landlord for conning him for thinking she has cancer. How did she pretend, how did she fake the cancer?
Okay, so she had gastric bypass surgery 20 years ago. She used to weigh 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's had that surgery, especially the early versions, they have a nutritional deficiency. She had low blood iron. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about the gastric, I just knew she had low blood iron. So she would let her iron get dangerously low, so she had to get checked into a hospital to get an iron transfusion. While she was there, she'd ask a nurse to take a picture of her in the hospital bed. She would use that picture of her in the hospital to try and trick other people to text it to her landlord and text it. She was scamming a dozen other people with a cancer thing, too, that she has cancer.
Oh,
that's
wow.
how she sold that yes. scam. Yeah.
Okay. You know what's interesting about that, Jonathan? I also am iron deficient, but I've been iron deficient for a really long time. And when they told me that I needed an iron infusion, I was shocked to find out that I'm going to an oncology center to get iron in my blood. And I'm like, wait, what now? Because it freaked me out when I got there, and it's a lot of chemotherapy patients. I was like thinking, I felt bad for them. Like, I'm just here to get some iron, and these poor people are here to save their lives. And I never knew that until that iron thing happened to me. It's after many, many years of not paying attention to your health that this could get really bad. So the fact that she had the oncology receipts is absolutely her possibility of faking the cancer, because it's from an oncology center you get the transfusion.
Exactly.
When did she go for the big score, Jonathan? When did she decide, all right, now it's time for me
to really we're 14 months into our friendship. I bailed her out of jail, and I was resolute. You know, I'd spent my life rescuing damsels in distress, and you know, she's my best friend, my sister. I was going to help her. So as we go along, you know, she hires lawyers who are going to fight this fake. So the line she gave me that I believed, the family was working in concert with a dirty district attorney in Los Angeles to try to get her convicted so they could disinherit her. And she's showing me as we go along texts and emails about her case, and her case is falling apart. You know, the family's case is trumped up. It's, I can't even use that word anymore. The family's case is all made up.
What is apropos? But
The family's case is malarkey, right? To quote Joe Biden. And
she, it's falling apart. Does malarkey mean bullshit or what?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, that's what that is.
So the lawyers are texting her, lawyers, which never really existed, are texting her, this case is falling apart. You're going to get your inheritance soon. Everything's going fine. So I think everything's going fine. And then she tells me, I come over to her place one time and she's crying. She's doubled over crying. She missed her calling. She could have been a Hollywood actress, right? She can cry at the drop of a hat. And I console her, and she's convulsing in my arms, and her tears are wetting my clothes. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? She tells me the family froze, you know, they found out a way to freeze her bank accounts. No. So she has she doesn't have access to any money. She can't pay rent. She can't do anything. So I start loaning her money, right? I loan her something like $20,000 over the course of a couple months.
Oh,
yeah. And I'm not worried
that to Kevin or Rula or Ryan. I'm not giving them 20 grand.
I mean, you might get hunted from me over that couple months.
20 grand.
Lord, but at least you need to be blowing me.
Yeah. Hello.
You'd be blowing me.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
So the $12,000 just adds up over time. It wasn't like a lump of 20K.
No, it was like, it was 5K here, 6K here, 5K.
Oh, okay.
It was to pay rent, you know, because her, and listen, I'm not worried at all because she'd already paid me back. She's a woman of her word. Like I'm not, and she's about to get this $5 million inheritance. I'm going to be friends with an Irish heiress. I'm not worried at all.
This sounds almost like that Nigerian prince scam. It really does.
It is the, well, it's the Spanish prisoner. It's a modern take on the classic Spanish prisoner scam. Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, con artists, they use the same playbook. You know, she gets points for creativity, but all of these cons have been tried and true and tested for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is the Spanish prisoner con in 2020.
Wow.
Dang.
So after she gets that 20 grand, she tells me, great news. This is like a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known her, this is like probably 3.5 years into our friendship, right? And the case has been going along in court and she's winning and everything's going to go away. She says, listen, for the case to get dismissed, I just need to pay court costs. It's going to be $50,000. And then I can get my money back. I can get my name cleared to get my inheritance and everything will be great. And she's showing me texts and emails from her lawyers that say this. So I have no reason to doubt her, right? And I don't know if you've ever hired a lawyer, but $50,000 is not a lot of money in lawyers. You know, like,
right.
I know it seems like a lot of money to just spend on a cake at the bakery, but if you hire a lawyer on retainer and you go for a year, it's going to rack up to at least 50 grand. So it made sense to me. Okay. So I lent her the 50 grand.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
I mean, now, Jonathan, hold on. Let's time out here. Because, you know, for a lot of people listening and for us, I mean, I'm thinking, I don't have 50 grand to part with for somebody to get out of their legal fees. So between you and your husband.
No,
what I'm saying is, between you and your husband, like, how deep were these conversations where you guys had to be like, okay, are we going to do this? Are we going to help her? I mean, this causes couple problems, you know?
It does. It does, and it did. Yeah. Well, he was behind her in the beginning. He believed her.
Uh-huh.
And he was, you know, and I remember near the end, before I found out, and I'll tell you how I found out, near the end, he was getting angry with me and we would have fights. And this is what, you know, I'm going to try not to cry to talk about this, but I do cry on the ABC show. So if you want to see me crying, check out the ABC show Monday, 9 p.m. Central. Wednesday, 9 p.m. Central.
Wednesday. Gone, girl. I set the field for you. I set the table. You can go ahead and let it out as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I remember the last before I found her out and I was on her side and my husband was, you know, assailing her, I yelled at him. I'm like, you don't understand. Her family's trying to destroy her. And I'm just yelling at my husband, the man I love more than anything in the world. I can't believe she made me do that. She made me attack him. And, you know, I'll never forgive myself for that. And I'll never forgive her for bringing me to that place where, you know, she essentially near the end turned me against my husband.
Because isn't that what they do? These con artists, they break and divide, right?
They
just break you up. They try and
oh my God. Yeah.
They can't
be
united.
Do you think she ever wanted to be your friend though, Jonathan? Or couldn't help it? She wanted to rip you off?
No, she has no friends. She has no friends.
Anyone in
Everyone she met is a mark.
Okay, so from her, I guess I don't know which one I want to go first. How you found out or what is her actual story? Because if all her friends are made up.
How'd you find out?
Yeah.
Well, you've heard that expression, lies are like rats. When you see one, it means there are thousands others hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The first lie presented itself. So I give her the 50 grand and she, everything's fine. She's going to get her inheritance. I'm going to get paid back soon. Her accounts are getting unfrozen. Everything's great. She's happy. Then one day, weeks later, she's doubled over crying again. And I'm like, what's wrong? Oh. And she tells me the judge is angry at her because she used my money to pay her legal stuff. And that's money laundering.
What?
And I'm like, what? She's like, yes. The judge considers it money laundering. So he's going to punish me. It's not a felony. I'm still going to get my inheritance. He's going to punish me with 30 days in jail.
What?
So, yeah.
So she could leave you and that you wouldn't see her for 30 days.
Crap. Exactly. Well, she really did go to jail for 30 days. She's calling me collect from jail.
What?
What?
Yeah, she was really
in jail. Just call up jail and say, hey, can I stay here for 30 days? I didn't do anything.
No. Well, here's what happened. So on like the seventh day, she's in jail and she's calling me. Like legit, she's in jail. I had to create a jail account to accept her calls. It's crazy. I want to come visit her, right? And she begs me, no. I don't want you to see me like this. I don't want you to come see me. And I'm like, this is like my sister in jail. I got to go see her. Yeah. And if you've ever visited anyone in jail, it's a horrendous experience. I had to go online. I had to create a profile. I had to upload my driver's license. I had to click on the inmate I wanted to visit. And that's when I discovered the first lie. Uh-oh. I see Clara's day. She's convicted of a felony. That's why she's in jail. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but that's not what she said. You know, and in my dumb mind at the time, because I'm ignorant, I'm like, well, she's not going to get her inheritance then. I still believe there's an inheritance.
And you really want this chick to get her inheritance.
Yeah, because I want my damn money. Yeah. So, you know, like a heat rushes over me when I find that out the info and I'm scared. I'm like, oh my God, what else is she lying about? So I take the day off of work. I was working on Booze Traveler for the Travel Channel at the time. And I go down to the LA County Courthouse that that case was prosecuted in. And I pull all the court records from that case. Mm-hmm. And I'm sifting through the records and I'm just like in a cold sweat. Everything she told me about that case was a lie. Nobody froze her bank accounts. That money that I loaned her was to pay, the 50 grand was to pay a plea agreement pleading guilty to stealing 200 grand from the travel agency.
Oh, good.
So had she not been able to come up with it, she would have gotten a 5-year jail sentence, not 30 days. She was spending 30 days in jail as part of the plea agreement pleading guilty, pay 50 grand, you only get 30 days.
So that's why she was crying. She wasn't a good actress. Real. She was scared.
She didn't want to go to jail for 3 years or 5 years.
Holy cow.
Wow.
So then when she got out of jail, I confronted her. I confronted her with what I knew at the time. I had no idea she was an international con artist on the run from authorities and I would go on to find 45 other victims all over the world. I only knew she scammed me. And I said, you know, you're going to pay us back. And she's like, I'm like, I found out nothing you told us about the case is true. And she's like, that's not true, Jonathan. That's not true. And I'm like, you're going to start paying us back. And then, you know, she walked away and I never saw her again. And she texted me and I said, listen, I've changed my mind. I'm going to go to police. You know, the next time I see you, we'll be in criminal court. Yeah. And she said, that's not true. I didn't do anything wrong. You loaned me the money. It's blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I went to police the next day and they kind of turned me away. They said, there's nothing they could do. You gave her the money. This is not a crime. This is, you know, I don't think there's anything we can do.
Oh.
And I started a blog. And listen, if you've been the victim of a con, that's the greatest thing you can do because publicity is like kryptonite for con artists. Yeah. Once you go public and people start talking about it, they lose their ability to con people because every time, you know, she had 23 different aliases she used. And every time I found out a new name, she was Marianne Smith, Mayor Clark, Mayor Andel, Mayor Welch.
Oh,
she was all these different names. And every
but
time I found one out.
First name. Okay.
Yes. So victims started contacting me and I started hearing stories. She impersonated Jennifer Aniston to try to scam a producer at a production company here.
What?
She was a psychologist. She had like 12 patients she was seeing as a psychologist.
Oh my God.
Yes. She was working as a psychic. She had
a
psychic
business.
Jonathan, this for sure is going to be a movie. Jonathan, what is the real story of her though? Like, where did she come from? What is her story?
Is she in jail?
So eventually I find all these victims and I keep nagging police. That's another thing, boys and girls listening at home or in your car or on the toilet. When you file a police report, You gotta nag them. You gotta call every freaking day. Because every time you call, your case gets pulled from the bottom of the pile and placed on the top. You gotta make that action happen every day. And they have to know that you're not going away until they do either they dismiss your case or they investigate it. So if you, it's not enough to go fill out a police report and go home. You gotta call every day. So I called every day for like 3 months till they did something. And every time I found a new victim, I call the police. Here's another victim. Here's another victim. Here's another victim. You know?
Wow.
Wow. That's awesome.
So eventually, this all led to, it took me 2.5 years. I hired 6 private investigators in multiple states and countries. I found 45 victims all over the place in California, in New York, in Florida, in Michigan, in Tennessee, in Northern Ireland. And eventually it went to trial in January 2019. It took like 2 years for once she got arrested, once I went to police, she gets arrested. And once the trial starts, 2 years. And you want to hear the greatest con she almost pulled right before the trial?
Oh. What?
She nearly got off. Listen to this.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. So I'm 24 court appearances in, right? Her lawyer keeps pushing the trial down, pushing the trial to another month, pushing the trial. Finally, the trial is scheduled. 1 month before the trial, I get an advertisement in the mail from a lawyer saying, do you need help defending you from this violent restraining order Marianne Smith filed against you?
What?
She filed a restraining order saying I'm threatening her life.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
I would have said, if I'm taking the name, I'm playing the game, bitch. You're going to be dead if you don't give me my money.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. But, you know, that would have ruined my chances. So I tell the district attorney, hey, I got this. She filed a restraining order. And he's like, listen, that's a civil matter. There's nothing we can do. You got to hire a lawyer. So now this bitch gets me for another $1,500. I got to hire a civil lawyer.
God.
And the lawyer explains to me, like, the lawyer's like, well, listen, how believable is she? I'm like, she's very believable. She tricked lawyers and politicians and doctors in Orlando. Like, yes, everyone believes her.
Yes.
So he's like, well, I don't want to alarm you, but if a judge approves this restraining order, you would be prevented from testifying against her at trial.
Oh, my no.
God. Yes. Oh,
my and without God. You, the trial goes out the window, right? You're the star witness.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
No. My God, this woman is ridiculously brilliant, but I hate her for it. I'm going to beat her up.
I know.
My God, I'm going to punch her.
Hats off. It's brilliant. She almost got away with it. So the lawyer, you know, kind of secretly whispers to me, listen, here's the deal. We can fight it. You might win. Every time I come to court, it's $1,500, and it's probably going to be 10 or 12 court appearances. So that's like, you know, at least 10 grand. Ugh. Or since you haven't been served the restraining order yet, just don't get served. And I'm like, nice. What do you mean? He's like, do you have a back door? I'm like, listen, I'm a gay man. Of course I have a back door.
Hey, 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 hey. Yeah.
He's like, do you have a back door? Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like, yeah, I have a back door. Why? He's like, just don't answer the front door. Just come and go through the back. Have your friends visit you through the back door. They're going to try to serve you this. Don't answer the door. And if you don't get served, it doesn't exist and the judge dismisses it. Like any civil action, you have to get served by a service person, by a court appointed, either a sheriff or police or someone. So sure enough, the next day at 5 a.m. in the morning, my door. I'm like, oh, I guess this is, I peek out the thing. It's a cop. Now, when a cop has been, so off-duty cops make money by serving civil cases. That's, you know. Normally, I would have opened the door if I didn't have the lawyer's $1,500 warning, don't open the door. So I didn't open the door. And at noon, at 5 p.m., at midnight,
this
went on. And every time it would cost her $100 to try to serve me. This awesome. Went on for like 12 days, all hours, banging on the door. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, here's my thing, Jonathan. How do they not find you, like, when you're walking to your car? Because I'm thinking, okay, the door's one thing, but don't they, like, try and seek you out? Like, oh, okay, we're going to stay in front of this house. And when he leaves his house, we're going to walk up to his door.
His car. They did. Well, here's the thing. I live in an apartment building with, like, 444 units. So from the inside, they know what our door is, but they don't know from the outside. And I have a clear view of our parking garage from our window, and there's a pedestrian walking bridge in the downtown. I live downtown L.A., so I have a clear view. I could see when they're there. I could see when they come. And there are 20 different ways I could take to the parking garage to get out. Like, you know, it's like a rabbit warren, our building is kind of.
Yeah.
So I knew how to navigate. I would take the stairs. I wouldn't take the elevator.
My God. And all of this, Jonathan, how are you even working? How do you concentrate on Shark Tank or American Ninja Warrior or whatever you're doing at the time? I would be like, oh, my God, I'm dodging the cops every day, all day. I'm dodging cops.
Yeah. I was. Well, I was riveting them with the story of the goings on. And I took videos of, you know, the knocking, but I was terrified. More than that, I was just terrified she would have me not testify at trial against, like, that would have devastated me to have her get off like that. But hats off, it's a brilliant plan. Luckily, it didn't work. The restraining order got dismissed because she didn't serve it. And the trial went on. Four victims testified against her at trial. Even her own daughter testified against her. She's stolen her own daughter's identity to lease the apartment in Los Angeles.
Oh,
yes.
Ruin her credit. Oh, ruin her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So at 49 years old, she couldn't find anyone to testify on her behalf. not a friend, not a family member. And she didn't take the stand. A jury deliberated for 3 hours and found her guilty. And she got a 5-year jail sentence.
That's it? For all those people she scammed all over the world?
But she'll only have to serve 2. She gets out in February, but here's the beauty.
Oh, my God.
What's
and
the
she has no idea. I've been working with the police in Belfast, Northern Ireland. She'd spent 9 years. So she was born in Bangor, Maine, right?
Uh-huh.
As Marianne Andel. And she moved to Tennessee, and she had dreams of being Irish. She was delusional as a child. She'd tell people she was Irish. She wanted to be Irish. So when she had moved to Tennessee, Maryville, Tennessee, she began an online relationship with a guy in Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, not technically Ireland, mm-hmm. by the name of Stephen Smith. And she left to go allegedly visit him, but she had intended to move there the whole time. So when she got there on vacation, she eventually, you know, tricked him into marrying her, and she never came back. She spent 9 years in Northern Ireland, okay. where she scammed, that I know of, 26 people out of 500 grand, and then disappeared.
God.
Disappeared like a fart in the wind.
So she scammed her own, I mean, like, did she ever divorce him, or she just ghosted him, and they think, like, they're legally still married in Northern Ireland?
No, yeah, she ghosted him because she got a tip that cops were looking for her. One of the victims who called me from Northern Ireland said when police knocked on her door, she was about to give Mayor £50,000 to invest. And the police said, do you know Marianne Smith? Yes, the woman's like, yes, I do. I have £50,000. She's an investment person. They're like, well, she scammed 25 other people. So you may not want to give her the money. So this woman called Marianne and said, police are here saying you scammed people. And that's when she just dipped. She got on a plane and went back to the United States and started making her way to Los Angeles, the furthest geographical point from Northern Ireland you can get.
So you're working with these Belfast police. I mean, are they going
to? Yes. So in 2017, he's like, we're going to try to extradite her. It takes years. So I just got notice from the district attorney who prosecuted the case that the police in Belfast let him know it's happening. So when she gets out of jail here in February, she's should be boarding a plane in shackles to be prosecuted for the scam she pulled over there.
Does she know this yet, or is she just...
She does not know.
Well,
so she's
going to
walk out the door.
What if it's on TV? If you on Wednesday night, she's watching it, and the ending, it says that. She'll be, what?
Yeah, that's the plan. Well, listen, she's in jail.
She can stew.
That's awesome.
Yeah, let her stew.
Wow.
Jonathan, I wanted to ask you real quick, though, because it sounds to me like she had all these people signaling her as to when, you know, something might be going wrong with her. Did she have employees that helped her commit this con, or was she working completely alone?
She was working alone. And, you know, God, if she had people with her, what chance do any of us stand? Thank God she was working alone. Mm-hmm. I saw a movie the other night called The Spanish Prisoner with Steve Martin. Came out in the 90s. Highly recommend it, because it's about a con, but with, like, a team of 20 con artists working in unison. And, you know, no one stands a chance in a situation like that. If there are 20 people working to scam you, they don't know, they pretend not to know each other. You meet them at different times. One's your boss's friend, one's your wife's friend. What, you know, they infiltrate your life and take over. Thankfully, she worked alone. Yeah.
I have a question for you, because I was recently scammed. Very basic, and I'm an idiot. You know, Craigslist, they post a property up on Craigslist. It's not really their property. You pay them, and they just run off with that money. Well, because I was trying to find the cheapest way I could get this one property. It just so happens it's listed everywhere, even on Craigslist, just not by the owner. So I did pay this guy, and it was $1,500. And then I did some investigating through my bank, because I use Zelle, and my bank was like, too bad, nothing you can do, send it on your own accord. So I got my bank was stupid, and they told me that it came, the bank that it came from, which was Simmons Bank, who took my money. And then I talked to Simmons Bank, and they're like, also, oh no, we can't do anything, nor can we give you any information on an account holder. It's too late, too bad. But their name is so-and-so Emmons. I got their real name, or at least the account that's open. Do I have a recourse? Is the blog's idea my best way to go? Or should I just, like, say, all right, that's a $1,500 lesson I just learned?
Well, it's a little of both. You definitely should go public on your Facebook or social media and warn people, hey, this is a scam going around to try to trick you out of your money.
Yeah.
You paid through your bank. You should definitely follow up file a police report.
I did.
Did you file a police report?
Yeah, I actually filed one with the Justice Department. There's a portal to where you can go in
all
for
right.
scammers.
That's not going to help you at all. That's going to end up nowhere. Find the police department in your zip code. That's the jurisdiction you're in.
Okay.
Whatever zip code you live in, that's where the crime happened. Go there in person. I recommend, most police departments are open 24 hours a day. I recommend going at 5 a.m. on a Sunday.
Okay.
No one's there.
Okay.
And file a police report. And then once you get that police report, follow up with your bank and say, I filed a police report. I want to speak to a customer service manager. This is a crime. And hopefully they'll transfer you to their fraud division and hopefully you can get the money back.
All
I've
right.
seen people get their money back.
That'd be cool.
But you gotta jump through some hoops.
Right. Did you get any money back then, or you got nothing since she had nothing?
Yeah.
She has nothing. By the time I outed her, so I kind of screwed myself because once I went public, she wasn't able to scam anyone ever again. I got emails from people, thank you for you know, publishing a website about her because I was about to give her money. And I Googled her name and found out she's a con artist. Thank you. She was scamming a mentally ill guy, right?
Oh,
So once she got arrested for my case, she pulled this 5150 suicide trick. She took an Uber to a mental hospital, said she was going to kill herself. They believed her, and she got out of going to a bunch of court appearances, and she got released into the Los Angeles mental health system. So she was living in this mental health halfway house, where she meets this old guy in his 70s named Ned. Ned called me, and she wants to marry him, and they were going to get married. And I went and met with Ned, and you know, I bought him breakfast at IHOP, and we talked for 3 hours. The first hour, I couldn't tell he was mentally ill. Nice guy. Then he starts talking to me about the electric network, and I'm like,
what's that?
What now?
Oh, internet?
He's like, well, you know, the electric network is controlling the minds of every human being, every president since Eisenhower. It's well known.
Oh, you're like,
I'm like, oh. And I'm going to bring the electric network down. And Marianne was going to help him. She pretended to suffer the same mental illness that he had. Right?
This woman, there is a special place in hell for her because she's soulless and has no remorse.
Here's her plan for him. So he was a veteran. He was getting veterans benefits and Social Security. And he was in his late 70s and going to die soon. She wanted to marry him so she could collect his benefits the rest of her life after he died.
Mm-hmm.
That was her plan.
So the reason you screwed yourself is why? Because those people didn't give her money, and that way she had nothing.
Well, because by outing her, I destroyed her ability to make money.
There was none for me.
So I have a court order for restitution, but you know you can't get blood from a stone. So.
Is this going to be a movie, Jonathan? Are you writing something?
Dude, so that's my only way to get money back. I'm trying to sell a show. I did this ABC thing. I have a 6-part docuseries I want to sell to like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu. The ABC show is literally the tip of the iceberg. It doesn't get into everything.
Oh, I believe you, man. Jonathan, if you get a chance,
on other people too. I see why that is. Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
I was going to say, if you get a chance, watch Love Fraud on Showtime.
I saw it. Uh-huh. And I liked it, but still, that guy pales in comparison to my.
You know what, Jonathan? This sounds like, guys. This sounds like, you know, John Walsh, whose son Adam died, and then he started America's Most Wanted, and he's like the authority on criminals.
Yeah, that's the
Jonathan Walton. That's like your thing. It's for cons because you are so seasoned now. You know all the crazy things that people do to con someone that you could be like the guy.
Yeah,
it's like Jonathan Walton. Did you get conned?
That's the plan. Ever since I did this HuffPost piece last year about my situation, I've been contacted by hundreds and hundreds of other victims of other cons. Who knew? There were like hundreds of Marianne Smiths running around the world.
You shared this on Facebook years ago because we're Facebook friends, and I remember reading that story.
Yes.
Was it 4 years ago?
It was last year.
I thought it was before that you talked about you were getting scammed.
So when I initially found out was in March of 2017. That's when I confronted her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what, but I didn't know she was a con artist. I just knew she conned me.
Man, yeah, so, you know about all this stuff.
No.
Well, I can't wait to watch it Wednesday night, man. I'm looking forward to it.
How much of the show is your story? Is it one story per episode, or are they doing different
cons? No, it's all me. It's all me hunting her down, and they talk to other victims, and they found her ex-husband. I co-produced the show, but still, they didn't have, you know, it's 42 minutes. They don't have room for everything. I mean, how long have we been talking? Long. Yeah, yeah. And I haven't even broached. For more info on all her cons, I unpack them on my website, jonathanwalton.com, JOHNATHAN, Walton, WLTON. JonathanWong.com. Cool. Cool. And I've got videos. I've got her psychic video on my website. I've got, oh my God, you got to listen to her. Her ice bucket challenge video. You can see her weird accent. Ice bucket challenge.
So yeah. She made up like a hybrid of an Irish accent. Oh my God.
Yeah, she had a strange, right. She had a strange accent. Wasn't American, wasn't Irish.
So is everything, like, how long ago was this, did this all unfold? Like, when, like, how long are we talking now? We just, the con is on now, but has it been a year ago?
Oh yeah, so we were friends for 4 years before I discovered I got conned, and I discovered it. So I've been fighting this since, you know, mid-2017, and I've been fighting to get publicity because, again, publicity kills con artists. And now this ABC thing is the pinnacle. Like, this is the biggest coverage I've ever had. An entire episode. Whoopi Goldberg is narrating.
That's huge. That's major. Like,
they should put you on The View.
On The View.
You should be on there.
You know, it'll be a Zoom View interview.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, good luck,
gosh,
man. If anything happens,
that happened.
Let us know. Crazy. We'll put you on some more. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, listen, my plan is exactly what Rula said. You know, I'm pitching a show. It's kind of like a cross between Catfish and America's Most Wanted, where I help victims track down their con artists and bring them to justice, and every show ends with a confrontation on camera.
Cool.
Like, when you're not having sexual thoughts about Ryan, we'd love to get you back on the top behind the scenes of, like, Shark Tank.
At least somebody is. I'll take it.
Shark Tank.
Yeah, I want to know more about Shark Tank. I'm going to be texting you privately on that one because I'm crazy.
I can tell you this that most people find fascinating. The sharks all have miniature IFBs in their ears that we talk to them through. We're in a room while they're shooting trying to come up with, like, clever outs when they're not interested in something. Mr. Wonderful, like, someone's pitching a mop to Mr. Wonderful, and we're scheming, like, what's a clever out he can do? So we'll tell him in his ear, you know, a famous man once said, there's no mess that can't be cleaned up. Well, that man didn't use this mop. I'm out.
You know, nice.
So the sharks, I mean, I love Shark Tank. It's an amazing show, amazing people, but, you know, as you know, Eric, it takes a lot of producing to make the talent look good.
Exactly. You definitely got to do that a lot of times.
That's right, baby.
Not on this show. I got talent on this show. We got great talent here, so it's not that hard.
When we feel like you losing it, when our brain is turned on, right?
Awesome.
Jonathan,
can't
it was so
enough.
Great to catch up with you. And thanks so much for being part of our Raw feed. Guys, again, it's called The Con. If you're listening real time, it's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Central, ABC 13.
On demand. You'll find it.
Yeah, you'll find it. And look up Jonathan, J-O-H-N, JonathanWalton.com.
Right.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Yourself.
It was
we'll
a pleasure
soon.
Speaking. Yes.
Right. Glad
you guys are ever, if you're ever in Los Angeles, come to dinner. We'll
yes.
definitely have you over.
Definitely.
We're doing this post-COVID. I'm flying down.
COVID's
LA.
Over.
I know.
Can't wait. Can't
All right,
wait
honey, take
thanks,
care.
Buddy.
Thanks,
All right,
Jonathan.
Guys, take care.
See
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was crazy.
That is crazy.
What a crazy story.
I can't believe that. Yeah, we had some good guests. Now we're going to let down the raw feeders if we don't have a guest.
Well, you guys...
We can.
Yeah, if you can think of more people, we've just been lucky to get,
some
good
fun
guests.
People catching up with us.
So we'll figure
it out. All
right, guys. All right.
Okay.
See ya.
Okay, guys. Raw feeders, have a
secret
good day.
Secret word, Ryan being fantasized about.
No, Ryan Spank Bank. Spank Bank Ryan.
Spank Bank Ryan.
Yeah, Spank Bank Ryan is the secret phrase. There you go, raw feeders. Happy Monday or whatever day. Take care, bye.